I have a yard full of dandelions. I just pretend I wanted it that way, you know. A flower garden, you know. I like yellow flowers, so yeah. Yeah, right. But how many know that if you just go around popping the heads off, they don't do anything? They just come back, and they come back with a vengeance. Amen. And you know, sometimes in our own lives we're like that. We're just trying to deal with symptoms. We're just trying to deal with fruit and not the root. So it's like you're cutting the heads off the problem, and you know, and yet the root is still there. So the problem keeps coming back and back and back and back. And God is the one who does surgery at the root. He's the one that brings healing of the heart. When the heart is healed, then your life comes into order. You know, the fruit that God desires is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, His fruit, the fruit of love. It's really the fruit of love. Sometimes we put ourselves into the position of trying to fix us. And we can fix things externally. We can quit habits. You know, we can make resolutions and we can decide I'm going to get into shape or I'm going to quit smoking or whatever the resolution might be that people make. And yet, most of the time, I mean, it's just you and I in an attempt to cut things off at the top, you know, at the surface of what we see. Well, if I just stop doing this thing or stop doing that thing. Well, God says to us to stop sinning. Would you agree? Yeah. Okay. But you and I don't have the power to stop sinning apart from the grace of God. Finish the sentence. I tried to stop things that I was doing in my life, things that were really out of control. And I strived and I struggled and I tried. And I often hear people say the same thing I used to say, which is, well, I'm trying. You know what? What I say now to, when people say I'm trying is I say, don't try, just do it. If you're in Christ, you have all that you need in Him. By His grace, to live a life of victory, to live a life of freedom, you don't have to be subject to anything. Isn't it interesting? And I'm not here to pick on anybody because what we do is we pick on the symptoms that we have in our lives, you know, rather than dealing with the root. It's a heart problem. Quit doing this, quit doing that, quit doing this, quit doing that. Well, you can quit doing all those things and still miss Jesus. God wants to come into the heart and work from the inside out. Yes. And it's a work that He does. It's by His grace. What is grace? It's His power. It's that which we haven't deserved, which we haven't earned, but that God gives freely. Do you want victory in your life? It's going to come by the grace of God only. It's not going to come because you tried to work it out. Now, by appearances, you may have some victory. And there are people who, by appearances, seem to be holy. Come on. They seem to be living a holy life by appearances. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were living, by all appearances, at least to most people, a holy life. And Jesus said to the religious leaders of His day, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. You know, they used to whitewash the outside of the tombs. And so they look beautiful on the outside, but He said, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. So you're dealing with surface things and things that are obvious to others, but you're not dealing with the condition of your heart. Because only God can change a man's heart. And so that's what we need, is transformation of the heart. And this is a work of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we get into religion. Religion is performance. Religion is me working towards hopefully earning enough credit to go to the right place when I die. Are you with me? You must be born again, Jesus said. You must enter into life. You must step out of death into Him who is life. And then God will begin to deal with the heart. God will begin to transform the internal part of us. And guess what results when the heart is right? Good fruit. You just bear fruit. Why? Because a tree doesn't have to force fruit. But it bears fruit because it's in the right environment, planted in the right location, receiving the nourishment it needs. So as we are abiding in Him, as we worship, as we walk with Jesus, we can walk victoriously. Why? Because He's already overcome everything. Amen. For us. He's overcome the world. So we have the world changer on the inside of us. So why we can sing that I'm a world changer, I'm a world shaker. Why? Because the world changer, the world shaker is in me. Amen. And as I walk with Jesus, I walk in victory. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm free. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ now. God makes me righteous. I don't have to walk around with my head down, being beat up by the devil, being told you're this and you're that. It's all lies. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Did you invite Jesus into your heart? Let Him be Lord. Let Him rule from that place and let Him change your heart from the inside out. Amen. Quit just trying to chop off the weeds from the top. I know it's easier to do that sometimes. Come on. I know y'all love to get out there and dig up them. Maybe some of you do, but I don't. But if I went out there right now and dug up all the dandelions, I'd have a desert out there. Wouldn't be no grass left, not very much of it. So anyways, God is the one who works from the heart out. Amen. Religion teaches us to do this and to do that by your own efforts, by your own meditative practice, whatever it might be. You're going to achieve nirvana. You're going to achieve some type of standard or of righteousness where you will have arrived. And guess what? No one arrives without Jesus. Amen. The only way you're going to arrive in glory is by Jesus and by the grace of God alone. If we don't get this, we're going to live in bondage to what we feel that we have to do. That's called legalism. The Pharisees were so righteous in their own eyes because they did all these things. And they added a lot to the scriptures. They created their own rules. You know, they were straining out gnats, Jesus said. You guys put these screens over your cups so you don't get a gnat because it's an unclean thing. He says, and what you're doing is you're straining out the gnat, but you're swallowing a camel. He says, because on the inside, you're dead. And He says, if you come to Me, you'll have life, but you won't. Why? Because of pride. You see, the way up in the kingdom is through humility. God's ways are not the ways that we're used to, often that the ways we've been grown up and been accustomed to. In James 4:6, it says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So you and I are, in a lot of ways, we're a product of our environment. Isn't it true? The way we grew up, the customs, the culture, the way that we were reared growing up. Even sometimes we say, oh, I'll never do that. I'll never be like my mom or my dad. And then we end up doing the same things. We say, oh, I hate it when I do that. And then we see our kids sometimes doing the same things that we don't like about us. So, oh, man, they must have got that from me. Are you with me today? Now, today, I want to share with you once again. And we need to keep this theme continually before us. Otherwise, we will not know how to walk in freedom. We won't know how to walk in victory. God wants His people to be victorious. He doesn't want His people to be bound by sin. He wants us to be free. Free to serve Him. Free to run. Free to dance. Jesus sets a little child down in the midst of them and He says, if you want to know how to enter and receive in the kingdom of God, look and learn from the example that Jesus used, and it was a child. So what we need is the faith of a child. I love to see the little ones up here. And I know they're kids, and sometimes they're just having fun playing with the flags. But, you know, the Spirit of God gets a hold of those kids at times. Have you noticed? And they'll just get lost in the Spirit. The Lord captivates them, and it's just a beautiful expression that we can learn from a child. See, children are very open. Children are able to receive a lot faster than most adults. You know, when we were children, before we knew better, we used to believe most of what people told us. Come on. And unfortunately, there's some bad players out there that said things that were not true. And as children, we didn't know any different and we believed it. And unfortunately, many are hurt because people take advantage of the naivety of a child and the fact that they are so easily persuaded to believe something that's not true because they don't know any better. Well, Jesus used a child as an example of the way that we need to be towards the Father, towards Him, because this is the way in. It's the way into the kingdom. He says, unless you be converted and become as children, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom. Matthew 18, 1 through 3. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so what we need to look at is, what is a child like then? Because, again, when it comes to our Heavenly Father, we need to know that He is good. We need to know that everything He does is good. We need to know that He's trustworthy. We need to know that whatever our Father says, He means. We need to believe the word of the Lord. If our Father gives us an instruction, how many know that that instruction is actually good for you? Even if He tells you at times that I want you to put the toy away now, it's time for you to grow up. He's going to tell you to put some things away in your life. But it always means that He's going to give you something greater in its place because He's a good Father. If we know our Father's heart, if we trust our Father's heart, then we're willing to commit ourselves to our Father in full abandon and full trust without questioning His motives. Are you with me? But when we're children, we believe just about everything. But then as we start to grow up and we've been stung a few times along the way, then we start to become a little more cautious. Yeah, right. You're going to have to prove it to me now. Come on. And we need to have wisdom in this world. We need to be wise. We need to be aware of what people are up to. Would you agree? But when it comes to our Father in heaven, we need to be as children who are simply believing what He says. Open to what He says. Willing to trust our Father's heart, even if He tells us to do something that we may not even agree with. Are we willing to trust Him anyways, knowing that our Father's smarter than we are? He knows what's up ahead. We don't. Sometimes He's trying to protect us from something that's coming by giving us an instruction in the now. Are you with me? He may give you an instruction to change something, to relocate, whatever it might be, but He's trying to protect His child. So we've got to know our heart, the heart of our Father, that it's good. He has good intentions for us. And trust Him as a child when He says something to us that we're going to say yes. And we're not going to be stubborn. And we're not going to think, well, like most teenagers, you know, of course you were a teenager once, right? Maybe you're still a teenager. It's like the song from the Birds, right? I was so much older then. I'm younger than this now, younger than that now. But when you're teenagers, you go through this phase where you're trying to be, you know, on your own. You're growing up and you're somewhere in between childhood and adulthood. And so, you know, when I was a teenager, I thought my parents didn't have a clue. And yes, there's probably things I did know that they didn't know, but my parents may not have been as smart, but they definitely were. But in some cases, your parents may not be as smart as you, but they're wiser than you are. And they've been around and they've learned some things. But when we're teenagers, we kind of get into this mode of, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. Me and my friends got this figured out. Anybody ever get in trouble with your friends before? Has your friends had it all figured out? All right. So spiritually, we get into the same place as we grow, as we mature. As children, we're very believable. You know, we believe everything. And then we have some things that happen in life that we don't quite understand. Some things happen in our lives, in our Christian walk, that we don't quite understand. And so then we start to question things. Well, does God really mean what he says? Are God's intentions really good all the time? Because I don't understand why this happened to me. I was being such a good boy and all of a sudden this. Are you with me? And we can, if we're not careful, if we start to entertain the wrong thoughts and we don't, you know, we start to turn away from him and understanding his heart, that his heart is good and God is wise and God knows what is best, then we start to question his word. We start to question whether God's even going to come through for us because, well, I thought God was going to do this for me and he didn't come through. Well, sometimes it's because God didn't tell you to do that. You went ahead and did that and then you asked God to bless it. You see, God can bless what he ordains. What God says is okay for you. Amen. Is okay for you. He's a wise father. He knows what's best. So when it comes to receiving from the Lord, we need to be his children. Righteousness is not something you achieve. It's something you receive. Holiness is not something you achieve. It's what you receive. You see, we are receivers, aren't we? We receive the grace of God. We can't even give anything until we first receive it. Come on. Anybody working a job, right? You earn wages, you put it in the bank. Well, you can't go out and buy unless you're on a credit card. You can't go out and buy anything until you first have something in your hand, and then you can put it in the bank, and then you can go out and spend. But first, you had to receive the wage, right? So it is. We have to receive what God has in order to become who he wants us to be. If we just try in our own efforts to be what God says we're supposed to be, we fail miserably. We don't have the power. We don't have the ability to live holy. So God gives grace. And where iniquity abounds, where there's sin, and yeah, it's everywhere, isn't it? We live in a sin-sick world. But the grace of God much more abounds. So that you will always have everything you need to live victoriously. And you know, when we discover our significance, when we discover who we really are, then no longer do we live according to the lesser things. Are you with me? When you discover that true joy and peace comes from him, you don't have to get drunk and stoned or try to find entertainment to fill up that place. Because you find peace, joy, and righteousness in him. I receive. And once I receive, now I have something to give, to bless with. A child comes with a sincere, open, trusting heart. Says, ever reach out and say, you know, give your child something, especially if it's a lollipop, man, they're not going to hesitate, right? But you hand them something good. They don't question it. They just reach out and say, and if you've taught them, they'll say, thank you. But they just receive. When a child is born, the child has to get onto the milk right away. they have to start receiving nourishment so that they can grow. So it is. We need to be like the baby birds that are chirping away out of the nest. Chirp, 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 chirp. You know, they're actually praising the Lord. The Bible says they're praising the Lord. All creation praises him, you know. What's wrong with man? Sometimes man doesn't praise him, but all creation does. And so as they're chirping away and their mouths are open, mama comes along and drops the worm in. Thank God we don't have to receive worms, right? Bad illustration. But when we are as a child before God, we're open, we're receptive, we're oblivious to the opinions of people. Come on. You know how kids are? They'll just get out there and they'll dance and they'll be in the grocery. I saw a girl the other day, she's just doing this tutu dance or something in the grocery store. Everywhere she went, and the mom says, "Stop that, stop that." She's embarrassing the mom, I think. But she didn't care. See, those are the things that we need to understand. We need to learn that from the children. If we want to receive from God, if we want to enter into the kingdom, we have to be open like a child. We have to be trusting and believing like a child. And when God speaks something, we need to say, yes, it's true, it's good. My daddy's word is, my daddy does not lie. Amen. Come on, our God does not lie. What he says is true. And so when we open up and we begin to chirp out praise to God, and God begins to fill our mouth, hallelujah, with his presence, he begins to fill our being with the Holy Spirit. We receive his grace. And all of a sudden, all the stuff that we came in with was all like bugging us out. And we're all like, oh man, life is so bad. And it's, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, what's come after that? I've got to do this and this. And all of a sudden you come and you get into God's presence. And all that stuff is kind of like, now whatever happened to that? Are you with me? You lose yourself in his presence. And he lifts you up into a realm that is above the noise and the confusion. As an eagle, he lifts us up by his grace into a place that is above all that noise. All the worries, all the fears of this life. God wants to give you grace. Amen. To sustain you, to strengthen you. To give you ability. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, sometimes we're trying to live for God independent of God. We're trying to do for God, you see, what he will do by himself. It's a changed heart that he's looking for. How many know that he changes the heart too? So when we compare ourselves to what God requires, we say, there's no way I can do that. No, you're right. You can't do that. But he can, by his grace. It's grace that's going to change everything, folks, for you. It's going to set you free. When you begin to know how wonderful, how awesome, how lovely, how desirable, how pleasurable God really is, you're going to be like that baby bird and say, you know why we're praising him like we are? Because we've discovered a peace that passes all understanding. We've discovered a joy that supersedes anything I'd ever encountered in this world, and a love that just lifts me up into a realm where there is no fear. Does that sound like a good thing? Amen. See, Jesus said, if I be lifted up. We start boasting on Jesus. Amen. Jesus hung on that cross for the world to see. But what we also see on that cross is our sin. How are you with me? Jesus took our sin upon that cross so we could be forgiven. And on the third day, he rose again, hallelujah, amen, from the dead. And he's alive. And he sent his Holy Spirit here. And today, by the Holy Spirit enabling me and empowering me, I'm delivering to you a message. If you will hear what God is saying, you can be free. Get out of the place of being your own Savior. Get out of that place of performance and get into grace. Get into his presence. Get into a heart of worship that opens up like a baby bird. As you open your mouth and you begin to give praise to God, the Lord said, open your mouth and I will fill it. And he begins to fill you with his glory. and he begins to squeeze out the darkness. Sometimes people get delivered from demons simply through worship. As they're worshiping God, they get out of there. They cannot stand the glory of God. Unless you be converted, really means repent and become as children. He says, this is your example as a child. Unless you become like this little one here, you're not going to receive and you're not going to enter. The only way to receive is to become children again in the sense that we have a trusting heart towards God. Isn't that what the Lord says? And trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, the people he's talking to here, of course, there was a bunch of people, but the disciples were there and the rest of the people, they were used to the culture they grew up in. You know, the laws and the customs, the ways of doing things, laws of man that were imposed upon them. And they had a legalistic righteousness that was based upon one's performances and achievements. So a legalistic righteousness. You see, this is what's killed a lot of people even in the church, is that they've been presented with a legalistic righteousness. Just like in Jesus' day, he was dealing with the priests, amen, and the Pharisees that had a legalistic righteousness based upon their own efforts, based upon what they could do. And so what they did is they got proud about their performance, and then they began to compare themselves with other people, and they became snooty. They became holier than thou people. Huh? Have you ever run into holier than thou people? Have they forgotten that it wasn't what you did? It was what Jesus did. It wasn't that I saved me, he saved me. It wasn't that I cleaned me up, he cleaned me up. It wasn't that I made myself alive in him, he made me alive in him. It's all about Jesus. If you can get this, folks, if we can just become children again before God. Wow. Do you know our Father is above all things? He owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't have to chase after this and after that. I own it anyways. Why? I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I got in trouble one time and people said, that was pretty arrogant to say, but I've shared this with you before. When I was working for Panasonic, one day I'm sitting down with a bunch of guys and I said, you know, I own this place. I said, well, my Father owns it. Who's your Father? My Heavenly Father. Said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And if I'm his child, that means it's mine too. So I don't need to covet what you have because I already own it. But, you know, these same folks at this day, they were thinking about the kingdom. Okay, Jesus shows up, you know, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is among you. And so they're looking like, okay, cool. You know, we're going to overthrow the Romans here. We're going to establish a kingdom. And they were looking for a kingdom that came with observation, something that they could see. They didn't understand that Jesus had to first take care of some business. Amen. That he had to first go to the cross. He had to redeem us, bring us back into right place with God the Father. And then the day would come, then he would return for his people, the ones that were bought by his blood. And he would establish, amen, his kingdom. And he will rule and reign over all the earth. That day is coming. And that's good news. But they were used to the customs. They were used to the way they always did things. And they were expecting, you know, this to happen with some type of observation. And because they were looking through the lens of human reasoning. So they thought, you know, like in the natural, it'd be based upon one's societal status, you know. Or their education. Or their class or their heritage. You know, isn't that how you get to the top, right? Well, in Jesus, in the kingdom of heaven, it's not that way. Jesus said the way to the top is through humility. Amen? In the everlasting kingdom, the eternal kingdom of God, the way up is through humility. It's not through self-effort. It's not through self-improvement. It's through humbling yourself before God and allowing God, first of all, to save you. Amen? To clean you up and to place His Spirit within you. And then God begins to transform us from the inside out. And that can only happen as we're like children who are humble and that they're not, you know, they're not concerned about what people think. You know, sometimes, yeah, it's true. Sometimes people show off in church, you know. But, you know what? I'd rather have somebody dancing and twirling around the church, amen, that's in the Spirit, that's like a child before the Lord, than to have people sitting around being adults. And the reason why is because I know how good God is. And just because somebody dances before the Lord or they twirl or whatever way they want to express themselves or they use a banner, they wave a banner, you know, that's their personal expression of love to the Father. Who am I to judge another man's worship? And we don't do that here. But I've been in places where they would. You know, who am I to judge another man worshiping God? I delight in that. I'm like, thank God. Why? Because I know that as they lose themselves in the river of God's pleasures, they're going to be transformed. As they get over themselves and they step over that chicken line to full abandon, that's when God blasts them and they're like, wow, God really is good. I'm beginning to understand who I really am now in His presence. And so I'm not going to live for lesser things now. You see, we're trying to point out the sin all the time. Well, you've got to stop this and you've got to stop that. It's the fruit, not the root. We've got to get to the root. When the heart is right and the heart is in right alignment, then the fruit of the life automatically comes, right? The good fruit. And all of a sudden, people realize when they get into the glory of God, the presence of God, like Isaiah, they become aware of His holiness and they say, woe is me. That's where we get that expression, woe. Woe. No. Woe is me. He became aware that he was a mess. When God's glory showed up and the light came on, he's like, man, he's like a rat. Or, you know, when we lived in Georgia, we had those cockroaches, you know. Yeah, and you turn the light on and you just go, whoosh. You know. Yeah, we lived in those places. Even the nice houses had them things go down there, it seemed like. But that's kind of like what it's like, you know, when the light comes on, we try to hide. That's what Adam did. He tried to hide from God. You know what? God came looking for him because he loved him, not because he hated him. He wanted to restore him. He said, Adam, where are you? Don't run away from me. Run to me. I'm your only hope. I'm your Redeemer. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only one that's going to fix you. Jesus is the only one that can save us. Jesus is the only one that can keep us. It's not about what we can do. It's what He can do. Amen. In us. It's by receiving His grace. God wants us to walk in the grace of God and come to form as children with a willingness to kneel down. It doesn't matter. It's the position of the heart. Whether you stand up and shout or dance or kneel down, or sit in just quiet contemplation, it's a matter of the heart. But when you're hungry and when you're desperate, like those baby birds, they're not going to be silenced. Are you with me? They just keep on chirping, 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 chirping because they're hungry. And we need to be like baby birds when it comes to the presence of God. We need to be hungry for God's presence because without His presence, we can't do it. We can't make it. We can't overcome. We don't have victory over sin. We come find ourselves back under self-performance and under law and in bondage. And so we need to abide in Christ, stay in that place with Him where life is good. And you don't live in fear and condemnation when you walk with Him. Hallelujah. And when you love Him, you don't do the things that grieve Him. Another thought here about children. You think back to the time when you were a kid, how we used to get so excited about little things. Remember, we used to get excited about going to see a friend? You're going to see your friend. You're going to your friend's house. Man, I can't wait to see my friend. You got excited about things. You got excited about like going to a birthday party. How about getting excited about exploring new things? Whether that was good or bad. But when you're a kid, you're curious and you have this inquisitive heart, right? And you want to learn and you want to discover what there is in this great big world that we've been born into. And so we have this adventurous spirit about us. Jesus said, unless you become like that child, you see, where you are hungry, you're open, but you're also inquisitive. You also have an adventurous spirit where you want to know what else is there. What more does God have that I haven't discovered yet? How many know that God has so much for us that we haven't even touched the tip of the surface yet? God is amazing. When we sing Amazing Grace, you got to know what amazing is. When the grace of God touches you, it is amazing. Come on. So there's this sense of adventure, this sense of curiosity. A child knows how to dream. I was going to be an archaeologist when I was a kid. What were you going to be? I like bugs, you know, collecting bugs. Lifting rocks and finding bugs and putting them in, pinning them to my... I think I like the pinning part the best, but... But we have dreams. A child dreams. When I grow up, I want to be a nurse, you know. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a mechanic, you know. What is it that you've dreamed of? So much of our focus is on just the things that are temporary. And you know, God does give dreams, and you can be somebody in this world, but what you want to be is an ambassador for Him in this world. Amen? Whether that's a doctor or a nurse or whatever you're doing in life. So as a child, you learn how to dream. You're dreaming all the time about, Ever watch that show? It was like, Let's Make a Deal, I think it was. What's behind door number one? Is it behind door number two or door number three? There was this sense of anticipation, you know, and you're waiting for that door to open up or that curtain, and you're just going to find out whether you want or not. You know what? God is so awesome and so worthy to be sought out. And He makes Himself available if we will come and seek Him. And if we will come as a child with that inquisitive nature and that need to discover and to learn and to grow and to become mature. How many never noticed that when we're kids, we're always wishing we're a year older? Sometimes a couple years older in some cases. It's like, oh, slow down. How old are you? 5 1/2. Throw the half on there, you know. Why? Because we have this desire to grow naturally. It's like you want to grow up. Why? Because you're supposed to. The same thing is true in the spirit. If we have a childlike heart, a childlike faith, we'll be wanting to be older. We will look at other saints that have been in the trenches a long time, amen? And we look at the fruit in their life. We look how God is using them. And we like, man, when I grow up, I want to be like them. Because I want to be like Jesus. And they're showing more of Jesus than I'm seeing anywhere else. Are you with me today? God has so much more for us to discover. That's why I look forward to being together, because you never know what's going to happen when we get together to seek God. Amen. And to call His kingdom in. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, Lord. Let heaven come down. Are you with me? Yep. Because He's an amazing God. And He's a beautiful, beautiful God. And we want Him. We want to see Him. We want to know Him. We want to love Him. We want to serve Him. We want to encounter Him. Because every time you have an encounter with God, it changes you. And you change and you grow a little bit more. And that's why sometimes we have to put the brakes on new Christians, because they're wanting to grow up too fast. Are you with me? That was me. I knew God had called me when I was born again. It's like I automatically open my mouth and I'm just preaching to people, you know. But I knew that I had to wait on the right time, but I didn't know that at the time. So I was looking at things and I had these dreams and these visions of what I'm going to be. And you know, sometimes those are God dreams and visions, but it's all about the process. It's all about maturity. It's all about growing up to be who you're going to be in the timing that God appoints for you. Not when you think so. Because most children, come on, you know, they want to be out with their friends. Remember when we were young and you had your first cigarette, you had your hat on and you're trying to be cool. Of course, you never have done that. But how many know that being cool, right, and trying to grow in the wrong way, really looking for the wrong source for maturity, you know, gets you in trouble. It becomes an idol, right? It distracts you away from God. But we see the same parallel in the kingdom. We want to grow up. But how many know that you can't force yourself to grow? God grows you up in His time. But let me tell you this. Unless you are as a child before God, with your chirper going and your mouth open and praying and asking God for grace, you know, sometimes we think that we're just going to sit and God's going to do everything. No. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. He didn't stop there. He said, seek and you will find. And then what? Knock. And the door will be opened unto you. What's behind that door? I want to know what's behind that door. Do you? Yeah. I want to know. I want to see more of Him. I want to see Jesus. Yeah. Lord, I want to, because when I see You, I begin to know who I am. When you grow up, you begin to know who you are as an adult, usually, if you grow up healthy. God wants us to grow up in Him so we'll know who we are. Not what others have said, but what He said. Not based upon my culture or my custom or my family's ways, but I want to know who I am in God's sight, in God's eyes, what He says, who He says I am. And so you're not going to discover that unless you come before Him as a child with an open, trusting heart and say, Father, I want to know You. How many of us have our dads tell us stories? Dad, tell me a story. You know? I mean, I know that your Heavenly Father has some good stories, amen? But they're true. He wants to teach you. He wants to teach you His ways. He wants to demonstrate. He wants to show you how He can work in a life, how He can transform a heart, how He can change you from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And when you look back and you say, man, that's where I started out, but look what God has done in my life. As long as I stay humble before Him, I'll continue to grow. As long as I stay before Him as a child with an inquisitive heart, with an open, hungry heart, God will continue to feed me and fill me with His grace. And when I have His grace, I walk in victory. What the Lord wants is for us to simply open our hearts. Open your heart to Him. Let Him in. Let Him do the work. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and He will transform you from the inside out. It's a work of grace. It's not by works, lest we should boast. We receive, and then we become. So today I want to ask you to become a child again towards your Heavenly Father. He's got so much that He wants to reveal to you. So much that He wants to do in your life. There are places that he wants to bring you that you never thought would be possible. But he is the God of the impossible. Will you come before him today and just yield your heart and your life? Could we just take a moment right now, just right where you're at? We don't have to look around. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. A child doesn't care. Let's be children right now. And open your heart to your heavenly daddy, your heavenly father. He loves you. Maybe you're here today and you haven't really made that decision. You haven't quite made up your mind whether you want to just give into this thing or yield to the Spirit and give your heart to Jesus. He's waiting on you to open up your heart and let him in. He wants to give you his life, his eternal life, his abundant life. He wants you to experience what life is. Life is in him. So open your heart today. Just come before him as a child, before your heavenly Father. Just say, Father, I come to you. I realize I can't change me. I can only change the symptoms. I can only skim off the top. But God, you're the one. You're the one that goes to the very root of my being and gives me a new heart. Father, I want that new heart. Take out of me the heart of stone and give me the heart of flesh today. Give me a heart that is soft and pliable and yielded to you. Give me your heart, Jesus. Lord, I want your life, so I give you my life for your life. I want to be born again. Jesus, I ask you to save me. Forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me today, Lord. Wash me in your blood. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Be my Lord. And I confess with my mouth today what I believe in my heart. That God has raised you from the dead. And that I am a child of God. Oh, hallelujah.